Engineer Bob only smiled because he knew Charlie was feeding himself. And beneath the clickety-clack and the chuffa-chuffa and the brump-brump, he could hear Charlie singing his old song in his low, gruff voice. "Don't ask me silly questions, I won't play silly games. I'm just a simple choo-choo train and I'll always be the same. I only want to race along beneath the bright blue sky and be a happy choo-choo train until the day I die." Charlie got Mr. Martin to his daughter's piano recital on time, of course. And Susanna was just tickled pink to see her old friend Charlie again, of course. And they all went back to St. Louis together with Susanna yanking hell out of the train whistle the whole way. Mr. Martin got Charlie and Engineer Bob a gig pulling kids around the brand new Midworld Amusement Park and Fun Fair in California, and you will find them there to this day, pulling laughing children hither and thither in that world of lights and music and good, wholesome fun. Engineer Bob's hair is white, and Charlie doesn't talk as much as he once did. But both of them still have plenty of zip and zowie, and every now and then, the children hear Charlie singing his old song in his soft, gruff voice. The end. "Don't ask me silly questions, I won't play silly games," Jake muttered, looking at the final picture. It showed Charlie the choo-choo pulling two bunting-decked passenger cars filled with happy children from the roller coaster to the Ferris wheel. Engineer Bob sat in the cab, pulling the whistle cord and looking as happy as a pig in shit. Jake supposed Engineer Bob's smile was supposed to convey supreme happiness, but to him it looked like the grin of a lunatic. Charlie and Engineer Bob both looked like lunatics. And the more Jake looked at the kids, the more he thought that their expressions looked like grimaces of terror. "Let us off this train," those faces seemed to say. "Please, just let us off this train alive. And be a happy choo-choo train until the day I die." Jake closed the book and looked at it thoughtfully. Then he opened it again and began to leaf through the pages, circling certain words and phrases that seemed to call out to him. The Midworld Railway Company. Engineer Bob. A small, gruff voice. Woo-woo! The first real friend he'd had since his wife died long ago in New York. Mr. Martin. The world has moved on. Susanna. He put his pen down. Why did these words and phrases call to him? The one about New York seemed obvious enough, but what about the others? For that matter, why this book? That he had been meant to buy it was beyond question. If he hadn't had the money in his pocket, he felt sure he would have simply grabbed it and bolted from the store. But why? He felt like a compass needle. The needle knows nothing about magnetic north. It only knows it must point in a certain direction, like it or not. The only thing Jake knew for sure was that he was very, very tired. And if he didn't crawl into bed soon, he was going to fall asleep at his desk. He took off his shirt, then gazed down at the front of Charlie the Choo-Choo again. That smile. He just didn't trust that smile. Not a bit. 23. Sleep didn't come as soon as Jake had hoped. The voices began to argue again about whether he was alive or dead, and they kept him awake. At last he sat up in bed with his eyes closed and his fisted hands planted against his temples. "Quit!" he screamed at them. "Just quit! You were gone all day. Be gone again!" "I would if he'd just admit I'm dead," one of the voices said sulkily. "I would if he'd just take a for God's sake look around and admit I'm clearly alive," the other snapped back. He was going to scream right out loud. There was no way to hold it back. He could feel it coming up his throat like vomit. He opened his eyes, saw his pants lying over the seat of his desk chair, and an idea occurred to him. He got out of bed, went to the chair, and felt in the right front pocket of the pants. The silver key was still there, and the moment his fingers closed around it, the voices ceased. "Tell him," he thought, with no idea who the thought was for. "Tell him to grab the key. The key makes the voices go." He went back to bed, and was asleep with the key clasped loosely in his hand 3 minutes after his head hit the pillow.